And I'm sure that it, I don't know if any of you were on the list, or if you are sick at some point, you're going to be on that list. And that's just really neat to me that Pastor Parrish cares and he loves you. And I'm so grateful that you have him here. You've been here, you started the church 41 years ago, right? So 41 years to pastor here, that's just an incredible testimony of faithfulness. And I'm so thankful for him. I've met several people. They've asked me where we're going this weekend, and I told them, and they said, oh, he's a great pastor, that's a great church, and I'm so glad you're going there. So you have a great testimony here at Bible Baptist, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that your pastor has allowed me to be able to conclude your month here of Missions Emphasis Month. I know at this point you might be thinking, okay, we've heard a lot of missionaries. I think you had 6 in this month, so that's a lot of missionaries. And you've seen a lot of videos and answered a lot of questions or asked a lot of questions. And that's a lot. And I appreciate you still showing us attention and recognizing, you know, even though you saw 6 missionaries, we didn't. So, you know, it's just such a blessing that you've been so hospitable to us tonight. I was thinking about, Pastor, when he invited us to come, he mentioned, if I, you know, could, to preach on the topic of why churches support missionaries, and just why do we do it this way? How does this even happen? And so I got to thinking about this and the pattern throughout the New Testament of why churches support missionaries. But beyond that, I was just thinking about a local church's missions program as stated in the New Testament. You can't just go to a specific place and say, this is the philosophy of your missions program. This is how you should run it. That'd be great. It'd be wonderful if it was that way, but it's just not. And rather, we have to gather details as we read through the New Testament and kind of piece it together to see what a local church missions program should look like. So if there's a title for the message, it'd be this. It'd be a healthy church missions program. A healthy church missions program. And as I read through the New Testament, I'm sure there are many more than this, but I see at least 3 characteristics of a healthy church missions program. And so let's begin this message with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you'd give me clarity, that you would help me to be able to preach your word effectively, and that these texts that we read would be represented accurately. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Parrish. We pray that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So these 3 characteristics of a healthy church missions program, just in a nutshell, I'll go ahead and give it to you. The first is one that spreads the gospel themselves, a church that spreads the gospel themselves. Secondly, it's a church that gives to missions. And thirdly, it's a church that sends missionaries. And so we're just going to quickly touch on these because there's so much that could be said about it. Literally, each one of these could be a sermon or a series. I mean, there's so much about them. But first of all, a healthy church missions program is a church that spreads the gospel themselves. A church that spreads the gospel themselves. If you think about it this way, prior to being able to be effective globally, we have to be healthy right here, locally. We have to be doing our part right here. My home church, we try to do our part, spreading the gospel to our community, giving to our missions program and things like that. We are active there because that's our home church. And the same would be true here. Before we can be effective in sending the gospel to these countries that are represented by these flags, we must be effective and healthy locally right here. What I mean by that is I believe it can be represented by an example from the New Testament. So for these 3 points, we're going to look at 3 different churches. The first church is the Church of Thessalonica. The Church of Thessalonica is a church that spread the gospel themselves. If you look quickly at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're just going to briefly read through this passage. The Apostle Paul started the Church of Thessalonica, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, Paul started the Church of Thessalonica with the emphasis on 2 things: the preaching of Christ and the proclamation of God's word. Those were the 2 things that were on his heart as he was planting that church: preaching Christ and proclaiming the Bible. Just really basic things, but as you read through this text, you can see the Church of Thessalonica captured that. They got that. As he preached it, they actually received it. Verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For our gospel came not unto you. He's talking about bringing the gospel to the city. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So what he's saying is, we came, we preached the gospel to you, we preached the Bible to you, we preached Christ to you. And what did you do? Verse 6, he says, you received it. You received the word. And so this is a healthy church. They are listening to the preaching of God's word. They are receiving it. And I can tell that is the kind of church Bible Baptist Church is. It's very, very easy to preach to you because you are receiving it. You're soaking it up. And that's such a blessing to be able to do that. But it goes on. In verse 7, it says, not only did you receive the word, but in verse 7, it says, you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in, what's the next two words? Every place. Every place. So wherever Paul went, they had a testimony. The church of Thessalonica had made an impact. In every place where Paul went, their faith to God's word is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. And then verse 9 discusses how their testimony was such of a changed life, how they had turned to God away from idols to serve the living and true God. And then verse 10 discusses how they were anticipating the return of Jesus Christ. An incredible testimony here, the church of Thessalonica. But what I want us to hone in on is found in verse 8. How they spread the gospel. And it was spread abroad everywhere Paul went. We know Paul went a lot of places. You read the book of Acts and you see city after city and region after region where he went and he preached the gospel. Everywhere Paul went, the testimony of the church of Thessalonica already was there. It preceded him. So as he got there, they already had heard about the church of Thessalonica. All that I can take from that is the fact that Thessalonica was a soul-winning church. Not only were they spreading the gospel to their city, but apparently they were sending ministry teams or sending missionaries to other places because these other cities knew about Thessalonica. And not just about the city to say, oh, what a great church, but they knew that they served a great God. And this great God changed their lives. And this great God is the one that they're waiting for his son to come from heaven. And so the attention was pointing on Christ. The attention is not pointing on the church. But as I look at this passage, I see a very healthy church. A very healthy church. And so the first characteristic that I would see of a healthy church missions program is that it's a church that spreads the gospel. It's a church that takes the gospel to their own community and takes the gospel to other areas around. And I can tell that you already do that, and I want to commend you, and I want to encourage you to continue to stay faithful, because Fort Mill and Rock Hill and Charlotte, this region, needs the gospel. You know that. As you turn on the radio for local news, you can tell. As you turn on the radio for nationwide news, or turn on an app on your phone to look at the news, you can tell. This area needs the gospel, and you have the solution. And his name is Jesus. And you can take Christ, you can take the gospel to your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers. You could spread the gospel right here. So the first characteristic of a healthy church missions program is one that spreads the gospel themselves. And we find that from the example of the church of Thessalonica. The second characteristic is a church that gives to missionaries. A church that gives to missionaries. And we find this in the example of the church of Philippi. Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll be. Philippians chapter 4. And so the church of Philippi sets the example for us of a healthy church missions program and one that gives to missionaries. Well, I happen to be a missionary, and I'm not saying this to receive money. That's not why I'm preaching this. I'm preaching this because it's in the Bible, and God has led me to preach on this topic of a healthy church missions program. This is the first time I've ever preached this, and so I'm not preaching this necessarily everywhere we go at this point, but it's just something I believe God wants us to look at tonight. So I don't want you to have the wrong mindset. That's not why I'm preaching this text. But in chapter 4, I believe we see a really, really good example of a healthy church missions program. And it's a missions program that gives to missions, gives to missionaries. And so let's begin by looking in verse 14. Notwithstanding, Philippians 4, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. We're going to come back to that word, communicate. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Let's look at that word communicate. The word communicate there is really a special word. And it's I'm not going to necessarily pronounce the Greek word here. Matthew Hanke would be disappointed that I didn't do that. He taught me my fourth semester of Greek, so he would say that I should know how to pronounce that. But I'm not going to try that right now. But rather, I'm just going to explain what the word means. The word communicate literally means to partner or fellowship together with. It's a really special word. The beginning of the word starts with the preposition soon, so it's with. We are doing this together. There is a partnership that's taking place here. And I find that so special, because if you think about, as missionaries travel from church to church, what's taking place there is a desire to be able to partner together with. That's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, Philippi, you partnered with me. You fellowshiped together with me. Not just in the things that are taking place in life, but literally he's talking about in a monetary way. You partnered together so that we could take the gospel to the cities where we're going. And so that's what's taking place in this passage. And it's a really incredible concept to think about that. How they were partnering together for the sake of taking the gospel. But that's not the big picture, because that's great to give to missions and to give to missionaries, and that's commanded and it's necessary. But what I find so special is verse 17. Paul says there is a bigger picture. You're giving to missions not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So what Paul is saying, I'm just going to use my imagination for a moment. We don't know if this is true or not, if it's going to happen. I'm just going to imagine that we're going to get to heaven one day. And because of what we have done for missions, because of what we have given to missions, there could be people that come up to us and they could literally say, thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for giving to that specific missionary. I believe you support Michael Diedrich, right? To the Solomon Islands. I saw his prayer card out there. Our church supports them as well, and it's such a special blessing to receive his prayer letters and to hear about people being saved, their church being established. Well, just think about this. The people that he's been able to reach with the gospel, just imagine, I don't know if it can happen this way, but what if it could happen this way, that they come up to you in heaven and they thank you for partnering with Michael and Nora Diedrich so that they could receive the gospel, so that they could be saved, and so they could experience eternal life and one day enjoy all of eternity with us around the throne and being able to be face-to-face with Christ. That's going to be incredible. And it's going to be the same way, not just for the Solomon Islands, but for every other missionary that you support. It can also be the same way for a one-on-one person that you witness to. If you think about it, there's a lot of people that you've witnessed to over the course of your life. And the people that respond to a tract or respond to a plan of salvation that you give them, and they get saved, then you see them in heaven and they come and they thank you. And what Paul is saying is, this is fruit that will abound to your account. I'm kind of picturing a spiritual, eternal bank that we have. And we just are storing it up. We're just storing up these treasures in heaven, and it's accumulating there. So even though we might not see the immediate product of it and the result like we would want to, this passage confirms that there is fruit that will abound to our account, and we will see it one day, but we have to view it all with an eternal perspective, not just an immediate perspective. That, to me, is fascinating and so inspiring. It makes me want to give more. It makes me want to be more involved than I am. And so this passage goes on, and it talks about how our giving glorifies God, and as we do this, it's connected with verse 19, my God will supply your needs. Well, that's a well-known verse, but it's in the context of giving. Well, that's kind of confusing. So what seems like it's happening here is he's saying, if you give, then God will supply your need because you are doing what God wants you to do. And Katie and I have found that so often that if God prods us to give to something or to someone, God will provide. And it's not like we're going broke to give because God says, no, I'm going to give to you too. And I don't know exactly how all that works in God's economy, but it's incredible. And so this passage to me is inspiring to see that a healthy church missions program is one that gives to missionaries. I know we just have a couple of minutes, and so we're going to close quickly with a final concept. A healthy church missions program is one that spreads the gospel themselves. It's one that gives to missionaries or to missions. And finally, it's a church that sends missionaries. A church that sends missionaries. Turn quickly to Acts chapter 13 and we'll be finished. Acts chapter 13 is a classic passage in missions. It's the church of Antioch. They're going to be our example for this point. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. The church of Antioch is a special church because they were the first ones that were called Christians, and they also sent out the first missionaries. Verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene. And it goes on, I'm just going to skip the rest of that. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they were active in the church. It says, as they ministered. And so the concept here is that a healthy church missions program is one that sends missionaries out. But you don't just call up BIMI and say, hey, I want a missionary to send. That's not necessarily the way it works. You see, you start right here. And you find people in your church that God has called to missions. And they come up to pastor and they say, hey, God's working on my heart about going into missions. And pastor says, I agree. I can see that. I can recognize that that has happened. In 41 years, I'm going to assume that maybe has already happened. And that'd be such a blessing to see that people in your church can be sent out to go into missions. And that is such an incredible thing to be able to think about that. And this is the New Testament design for churches being planted. Because a church like Bible Baptist can plant another church through the ministry of a missionary that they send out to go do that. Churches plant churches. That's the way it works. It's not associations planting churches. It's individual local churches sending out individuals to go plant those churches. And that's what's taking place here in Acts 13, is that there were individuals, Paul and Barnabas, being sent out from this church. The Holy Spirit recognized, I have called them. So it's the Holy Spirit calling. It's God calling. And then the church comes alongside and they recognize, yes, God has called them. The individuals have to obey. They have to respond. And there's an incredible effort that's taking place, a cooperation that's taking place here in order for that church to send out missionaries. Our church has sent us out, and that's following the pattern of Acts chapter 13. And as you read through the remainder of the book of Acts, you see what Paul and Barnabas did, the churches they started, and it's all stemming from Acts chapter 13. Just a side note, and we'll finish here. When Paul came back from his missionary journeys, where did he go? He went to Antioch sometimes, right? Why did he go there? Because that was his sending church, and he gave a report of what God had done. So when you have a missionary coming home on furlough, that they come home to report what God is doing. And so we're following this New Testament pattern. So all this to say, a healthy church missions program. What does it involve? Well, first of all, it involves a church that spreads the gospel themselves. We have a responsibility, and it's all stemming back to the Great Commission. Coming from Christ himself, saying, go into all the world and spread the gospel. So we spread the gospel, we give to missionaries, and then we even send out missionaries from us to go out and plant churches. This is the New Testament pattern. I just want to ask you, what will your local church right here, Bible Baptist in Fort Mill, what will you do? What's your next step in having a healthy church missions program? I can tell you already do. I can tell, and that's exciting. But I want to encourage you, take the next step, whatever it is. Maybe God's calling you to go, and if that's the case, go. Because you'll be miserable if you say no. So you should go. And then if you're the church and you're recognizing that, get behind those missionaries and send them out. Maybe you're just thinking about people in your neighborhood, your friends and your family and your coworkers, your neighbors that need the gospel. Take the gospel to them because it's commanded. And they will go and spend eternity in hell if we don't. So we must tell them of the hope that is found in Christ alone. So as we take the gospel to the Ivory Coast, I pray that you'll be praying for us, and we'll be praying for you as you take the gospel right here in Fort Mill and Rock Hill and Charlotte area, because both areas are equally needy. They both are without Christ. There are many, many people in both areas without Christ. Just because we're going to a unique place or a place that we're unaccustomed to doesn't make our responsibility any different. We all have the same responsibility as believers to be missionaries. We just happen to have that title, but you as believers have the same responsibility. And so wherever God has called you, stay faithful in spreading the gospel right where you are. Pastor, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here. We'll close our time in a word of prayer, and I'll turn it over to you. Father, thank you for the opportunity to expound on your word tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to discuss our ministry and, more importantly, to talk about your word. I pray that you please bless this church in its missions effort for many, many years to come. Lord, thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Jacob. Thank you for what you're doing through these men and the ministry here. I pray that you would please bless this church. Thank you, Father, for this church and the missions effort. In Jesus' name.